Because Mr. Day this week, so we're a little bit off schedule. Tomorrow will be Chassidus Umpur. Today I want to share a sicha of Rav Lichtenstein. And what made the sicha so interesting was two things. Very often he gave a sicha on Purim, and he highlighted aspects of Purim. When I say sicha, I mean an hour sicha. We're all waiting to read the Megillah. And sometimes Rav Aaron would just take even something like Megillah Esther and uses an opportunity to teach us about life, to educate us about important decisions we're facing in life. And all of a sudden, 10 minutes into the conversation, the sicha had nothing to do with Purim. It was just Rav Aaron training us, opening our minds. So this is one such example. Now, the topic of this was, to me, a real revolution when I came to the yeshiva. Because when I came to the yeshiva, I came from a pretty firm background, and I really wanted to learn. And when I thought about profession, what profession I wanted to enter, you know, what I'd seen in my father, did I like it, did I not like it, what could pay me the most money, what would provide the easiest lifestyle, what would provide enough time to learn Torah, those were, I think, all legitimate factors. And Rav Aaron spoke to us extensively about our professional choices, and not just the values that go into making that decision, but how we weigh the values. Now, obviously, I changed my professional arc, because I didn't come to yeshiva planning to be a mechanech, and then I decided to be a mechanech, but a lot of other professions that Rav Aaron spoke about. So this was one such example. In the end of Megillas Esther, the Torah describes Mordechai as being Ratzui Lerov Echav. Most of his friends, most of the Jews really were very comfortable with Mordechai. So what does that mean? So the Gemara Megillah says, not everyone was thrilled with Mordechai, and some of the people of the Sanhedrin, they had their issues with Mordechai, and they parted their own way. And that's really inflammatory. Who in their right mind, he's a hero. Who in their right mind, why would they have an issue? They were jealous? Mordechai saved the day. Mordechai was the great hero. Why would they part with Mordechai? Was it petty politics? So Rashi explains that they didn't part with him because of political intrigue or political jealousy. They parted with him because they disagreed with his decision to leave the Beis Medrash and get involved in politics. Because now Mordechai was involved in the Beis Haman, he was involved in the comings and goings of the palace, and this stole time for him to be in the Beis Medrash. And Rav Aaron spoke about the specific issue of whether you should be involved only in learning, or you should also be involved in public activity and involved in politics. And there are some people who would say, if Rav Moshe Feinstein or Soloveitchik were the prime minister, State of Israel would be better. And that's obviously doesn't make sense, because prime minister, people in politics have to be trained in politics, be trained in public works. I always wondered to myself, I don't really know the inside workings, but in Israel, very often you have Haredi parties whose Knesset members become heads of government ministries. And they don't really have that much background, I think, in terms of running large corporations. A lot of them are yeshiva bachrim, who then went, but some of them have had public experience. I'm always wondering, like, what's happening. So, but going back to the specific issue, should a person, Rav Aaron quoted the Rambam Hilchos Matnas Aniyim. Hilchos Matnas Aniyim says that the highest form of tzedakah you can give is not even a loan, but to facilitate someone else supporting themselves, either by loan or through other means. It's the highest form of tzedakah. Essentially, if you enter politics and you're helping people eat and you're helping people grow and you're helping people stay healthy and you're helping the country run, you're performing the highest level of tzedakah. We don't always think of it in those terms. We think of politics as a dirty, ugly world, which is just, but if you do it l'shem shemayim, and especially in Israel, where 70-80% of all the money and funds you're distributing are going to Jews. So essentially, you're providing a person who enters Jewish politics and does it l'shem shemayim, not just for power grabs, is performing the mitzvah of tzedakah. So that was one thing that they possibly had a disagreement with Mordechai about. The second thing they had a disagreement, he talked about four, but I'm only citing two. The second thing he had a disagreement with Mordechai was even more interesting. The Gemara in Brachos says that when people are scattering, you should contract. When people contract, you should scatter. It's based on a pasuk in Mishlei. What does the Gemara understand in that pasuk? If everyone's learning Torah, but no one's teaching Torah, you have to go out and teach Torah. But if there are enough people teaching Torah, you should contract yourself and learn in the Beis Medrash. Now, first of all, that Gemara always resonated very deeply with me, because I think the Rav Lichtenstein felt, at least in the 80s and 90s, there weren't enough people teaching Torah. And therefore, he urged us all to seriously think about taking a career of teaching Torah. I don't think it's changed much. I keep telling you, no one's going to railroad you, obviously, into any professional choices, but we so desperately, desperately need qualified mechanchim, qualified rabbanim, and I'm now involved in helping Gush alumni get in positions again. I mean, you can't imagine how successful they are, how many positions are available. It's just, people really need you, especially if you want to go outside of the major metropolitan areas. There's a dearth. But the broader question is not just to decide whether to learn in the Beis Medrash or to become a mechanech, as the literal meaning of the Gemara and Bracha says, but when you make a professional decision, and here's the thesis, what I found revelatory, when you make a decision, you have to make a decision in part based on what society needs. Like what, not just what you want and what will provide public good, but if you're an idealist, what does society need right now? We need more of, take it out of chinuch and Torah, we need more doctors, we need more psychologists, we need more. Like, what does society need? That's how Rav Lichtenstein interpreted the phrase in the Mesillas Yesharim. Person is to always try to decide, ma chovas ha'adam be'olamo. What is his responsibility? What does it mean, be'olamo? Ma chovas ha'adam? No, but now it's 220, 221. That's one world. And 1980 was a different world. And 1620 was a third world. So you have to reset, not a third world, but a different world. And now you have to, it probably was a third world. But now you have to assess in 2021, not just the faculties Hashem gave you, and not just what you want, and not just what will provide public good, but what will the world need in 2040? And to summarize, Rav Lichtenstein turned the decision of choosing a profession into an idealistic decision, a decision driven by ideals, Torah values, commitment to community. That was an epiphany to me. And I'm not sure that everyone really goes through that process. Your choice of profession is so much a part of your identity. You're spending 10, 12 hours a day. It has to be a profession that doesn't just have content-wise important meaning, but one that you choose based on idealism. The way you go through the methodology of the choice has to be, I'm choosing this for sure. Obviously, Rav Lichtenstein stressed medical profession, obviously, chinuch, psychology, social work, professions which you can directly impact people's lives. And I think all of you, knowing all of you standing in front of me, you'd be great in all of them, and you'd really get a lot of internal meaning by being involved. But let's say you decide you want to become a lawyer. The reasons have to be idealistic, and the trajectory has to be idealistic, not just the content of the job. And I feel that we need more from lawyers or more Eli Weber. I don't know, you're making a decision about what you want to become, but it's such an important decision. And I see a lot of boys, they get backed into the decision very early in their lives before they really think about it. And then you're essentially amputating 12, 13 hours of your life from religion. You're 12, 13 hours, you're not really, you don't see it as part of your calling as an Oved Hashem. So this is a very, very long sicha. It's 10 pages long. I'd like to give you the whole sicha. But that was the argument between Mordechai and the Sanhedrin. Mordechai said, well, wait a second, Achashverosh is a very fickle king. So maybe I should stay in politics to stabilize the situation. He gave a gzerah, he rescinded the gzerah. Who knows if in another year he'll issue another gzerah to exterminate the Jews. Maybe I should stay in politics. And so that just said, wait a second. The Jews just had a spiritual revival through Purim. Ecstatic feelings. Sometimes right after a spiritual revival, there's a fall, there's a relapse. Maybe you should stay in the Beis Medrash and add to the spiritual world. So the Machlokas, Mordechai and the Sanhedrin, was that petty politics, oh, you have more power than us. The fundamental question about learning or being involved in public affairs, and especially at a critical time in which you can't just ask that question in a vacuum, in a bottle, you have to say right now what's more important, and they just weren't sure what was more important at that point because there's so many things happening in the Jewish people, and unfortunately they couldn't see eye to eye. Okay? Tomorrow, a little chassidus, Eretz Hashem, okay? You're welcome.
Okay, I see it says...